Today's message is entitled, Are We There Yet? You ever heard that phrase from anybody? A whole bunch of years ago, Sherry and I were getting ready to go see my aunt in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I think it was a Sunday morning, we'd gone to church and maybe excused ourselves a little early or something and loaded up our children and had a bite to eat in Staples, and we took off and we got somewhere down the road, a long ways. We were all the way to Browerville or something. And the kids were asking, are we there yet? We were headed for Lincoln, Nebraska. And I don't know how many times we heard that day, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. And I know that you've heard that phrase too. And I was reading some of what Paul wrote to Timothy this last week, and this question came to my mind. Not only are we there with what Paul told Timothy would happen, and I'm going to ask you to go to your Bibles in 2 Timothy 3. Not only did Paul describe to Timothy there would be perilous times in the end times, but we have arrived. As I read through these verses again this last week, I said to myself, oh Lord, forgive us, we have arrived. Right where Paul said we would arrive. Now, I'm not picking no date of Jesus' return. That's futile and foolish. But when you read through 2 Timothy 3, and I'm going to read through that in just a moment, probably refer to it for a couple of more Sundays, although not on Father's Day next week. I think you will probably agree that in society today we have arrived. We have gotten there. And one of the things that I want us to think about this morning more than anything else, friends, how are we ever going to work the work of Jesus? How are we ever going to work the work of the kingdom, which God has called his people to do? We are ambassadors. We know that, right? If we have been born again, we are his ambassadors. We are his servants. We are his disciples. We are his children called forth to be his ambassadors, his missionaries, right where we're at. We're aware of that, right? That's not news to us, is it? This would mean affirmative. This would mean I don't know what you're talking about. But when I look at these verses and I see if we allow ourselves in the church to arrive here, how are we ever going to do the work of the kingdom? Let me read for you some of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, Paul writes to Timothy, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, pride-filled, it means, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Anybody disagree? We've arrived. I don't know how Paul knew it, but he's pegged it. He's got it. He's hit the bullseye on every one of these. We have arrived. Verse 12, same chapter. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but, 13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but you must, he says to Timothy, and I believe he's saying to the church today, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. In other words, he's saying to Timothy, you must remember the scriptures from your mother and your grandmother who taught you the scriptures. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why do I pick these verses today, friends? Because I fear, I don't know if it's a fear or not, it's just a realization, we've arrived. Every one of those things are evident today. Every one of them. Maybe they always have been, I don't know, but I think they're more noticeable today than ever today. Like I said, I'm not predicting that Jesus is going to come back today, although he could. And if we have not made preparations, if we have not trusted him, surrendered to him completely, asked him for forgiveness and repented of our sin and been born again, we're not ready. And if he comes back today, friends, I would behoove us to get ready. I'm not predicting that he's coming back today. I'm just saying that we have arrived at these verses. I can't recall a time in my life when I have seen a time when I have seen people that we have been so in love with ourselves. I can't recall a time. We're very proud, particularly in Western Europe, in America. We're very, very proud. We demand our rights. We demand this. We demand that. We're all puffed up with ourselves. We demand all kind of rights. I could list lots of things. I don't think I need to. In the world, in our world of loving ourselves today, we're so in love with ourselves. We buy more, we play more, we spend more. We got to keep up with them neighbors. Our empires get bigger, our debt load grows larger, and we continue to bow down to amusement and entertainment and things that please me. We have arrived of being lovers of ourselves, even in the church house. Jesus said, we went over this last fall when I was talking about being a fan or a follower. Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you start by what? Do you remember? Denying yourself. Denying ourself is just the opposite of being full of ourself. Denying ourself is just the opposite of being lovers of ourselves. And Paul said there's going to come a time, Timothy, when humanity is going to be lovers of themselves. And brothers and sisters, I fear in the church house we've arrived. I know we've arrived in America. I know we've arrived in society. And I fear we are arriving at that point even in the church house. And Jesus said, if you want to be my followers, the first thing he said we have to do is put ourselves behind us. It's just the opposite of what Paul has said will happen someday. If you hear nothing else today, hear this, if you would, brothers and sisters. Why would we be utterly and totally surrendered and dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ when we have all this stuff at our fingertips? Swipe the Visa card, presto. All this stuff for our pleasure, for our amusement, for our satisfaction, for thine ease. Why would we be desperate for Jesus when we have all this stuff at our fingertips? Why would we be desperate for Jesus when we're so in love with ourselves that we can't see Jesus? Why would the world figure there's any need for Jesus? I got it pretty comfy with right where I'm at. You see the importance, friends, of what Paul is saying here to Timothy? If we're not going to be desperately in love with the Master, what did Jesus say after all is the first commandment? Love the Lord our God with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind, wasn't it? And to love our neighbor as ourself. How can we be in love with ourself when we're loving our Heavenly Father with everything we've got? It don't work. But we replace loving our Heavenly Father with everything we've got, and we start loving ourselves. We just heard Friday, it was at conference, from a very godly man called Gary Thomas. And if you've never read any Gary's books, they're very, very good. I took some of you through Sacred Marriage. That's his material here a while back on Sunday nights. And Gary talked about the pleasures of life. And you know what? God has made for us pleasures. Hallelujah! But then there's the world's pleasures that we find ourselves wrapped up in, bowing down to, giving into, and even in the church house, we begin to fall into this category that Paul told Timothy, someday it's going to happen. People are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. And the list goes on and on and on. Someday, Paul told Timothy, that's going to be a reality in everyday life. And I'm asking us today, friends, to consider, why would the world, or if we're just filling ourselves with self and filling our stuff, there's a phrase in there later on, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. If that's happening to us, then how can we ever be used by God if we're so full of ourselves? Begins with me and Isaac and Marie, and it begins in the pastorate. It begins in the church leadership, but it doesn't stop there. It goes right down through all of us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're so full of ourselves, how are we ever going to be available for His work? And so, you know, we might use the argument that, you know what, preacher? I've worked hard, I've earned this. And all I want us to consider is the words of Paul. I'm just going to paraphrase some of that long set of verses, but just listen to these again. Just listen to the words of Paul. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unthankful, unholy, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but some of that statement that Paul makes to me is personal. And I think it can be applied to a whole lot more than me in the church today. I think if our ears are attentive to the Holy Spirit of God, that should be ringing some bells in the churches today. Even in the church, friends, I fear we have arrived at these places. Of course, Paul tells Timothy, this will be a reality in everyday life. But I fear, friends, it's also become a reality amongst us, God's people. You see, society cares more about personal comfort and rights and personal pleasure than sacrifice. And when society molds the church instead of the Word of God molding the church, then the church begins to care more about personal pleasures and comfort rather than sacrifice to the living God. I assure you, friends, that if we, the body of believers, were not in this mindset that Paul described to Timothy a long, long time ago, society could be a very different place. Why, you say? Why do you think that? Because the church would be reflecting Jesus instead of reflecting the world. And so, friends, I wonder sometimes. I just so appreciate our bishop. He told us last year and he told us again this year. I just love this statement. Maybe someday I'll use it in a sermon. Wherever you go, to work tomorrow, to retirement, to the farm, to the factory, to home, wherever you go, God has already preceded you there. He's already gone ahead of you with people in your sphere of influence. He's already gone there and done a work. He's waiting for the church to come alongside His work. I think he's right. God has already preceded us in Motley or Leader or Lincoln or Staples or Pillager. He's already preceded you back to work tomorrow. He's already preceded you in your conversation with your family. He's already working on them. He's waiting for the church to join him in his work. And how are we going to join Him if we're too full of ourselves to notice? God has gone before me and He's done a work on my neighbor, on my family, on my spouse, on whatever it is. How are we going to ever know that God has gone ahead of us and done this work if we're too full of ourselves? We're not. That's the bottom line. We're not going to know. And I realize that way too often we preachers, we want the numbers to go up. We want to be liked. We want to be popular. We want to reflect the trends of society, and sometimes all this at the expense of the gospel of truth because we're too full of ourselves instead of filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God had a word for those kind of preachers and priests and prophets in Jeremiah. I put the scripture in your bulletins. You can read it. We don't have time today. God doesn't have any time for us leaders of the church if we are so full of ourselves we have forgotten to tend the flock. Ezekiel 34 is extremely clear. Jeremiah 23, he says, I didn't even send those prophets. They think I did, but I didn't even send them. And so, brothers and sisters, I realize it starts with me. I realize that. And I realize it starts with church leaders everywhere. But people of God, as people of God, we need to allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and to form us and to be the followers of Jesus that He has called us to be, or we will replace the Spirit with ourselves. Just like Paul said to Timothy is going to happen. We become lovers of self. We become lovers of money. We become proud and boastful and all these other things. All these other things that happen. If we don't let the Spirit of the living God fill us and mold us and form us into the people of God that God wants us to be. Like I said, I know that next week's Father's Day, and we probably won't refer back to these verses again next week, but we are going to refer to them again because I believe they are sending up red signals even in the church house today. I believe we've arrived. And I want us to ask ourselves today just this question. Have I allowed any of this to happen? As you read through these on your own, I want us to simply ask, as I have asked myself over and over this week, have I allowed this to happen? And if we have, then there's need for repentance. On Wednesday morning, we just happened to be studying Revelation. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. But last Wednesday, we were looking at the church of Ephesus. And Jesus said to John, write to Ephesus, tell them they've worked hard. They've suffered through some persecution. They've been through some difficult times. And then he says, but. He said, remember the heights from which you have fallen and repent. Remember the heights from which you have fallen means you used to be madly in love with me, passionately in love with me, and you've cooled way off. That's what he tells the church at Ephesus. You've cooled way off. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. You used to be passionately following me, passionately in love with me. And he said, repent of that because you're not there anymore. And brothers and sisters, it's so easy for the church in the 21st century to do the same thing. We've got so much at our fingertips. It's very easy to fall into some of these categories. And so I simply want to ask us today, have we allowed any of these things to happen? And if we have, I want us to come before the Father and repent and say, Father, lead me to you like you want me to be. Praise team, will you lead us in that last song again, please? And if God has a word for you today in your heart of repentance or maybe today is the day you need to surrender completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Isaac is up here. I'll be up here when we're singing this last song. Why don't you come forward for prayer?